We've been talking with Dr. Timothy Riley of the USU Eastern Prehistoric Museum about a big display that's coming up. And we wanted to take some more time and talk about some of the great exhibits and the great activities that are coming on, because there is a long list. So, Dr. Riley, we're going to let you get back into that list.
On February 15th, we're bringing back the Mormon Kid. This is the story of Matt Warner, the life of Matt Warner, last of the Bandit Raiders. This is a one-man theatrical production by local professional actor Morgan Lund, who lives over in Helper. And it was in the Black Box this fall. But it tied in so well with the history of our community that we decided to ask if they would put on another one last showing here on February 15th from 7 to 9 p.m. in the Black Box Theater at the Central Instructional Building. And that'll be free. All these events are free and open to the public. So if you didn't get a chance to see it when it was staged before, or perhaps didn't have the funds at the time, here's a chance to catch up and learn a little bit more about Matt Warner for free. Got a couple more things to go through.
Oh, you're fine. Let's hear it all. Let's get it all out.
Let's get it all out there.
This is great information for those of us that want to be a part of this.
Yeah, and it should be fun. You can come to the exhibit anytime, but these special events will really be a good way to engage and meet like-minded people who really care about the history of our community and the changes that have happened, but also the changes that are happening in the future. That's why it's sort of both forward-looking with John Curtis as well as looking back at things like Matt Warner. On February 21st, we're going to be joined with our helper poet laureate, Olivia Dudding Rodriguez. She's our relatively new poet laureate and helper and a great poet. On February 21st from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in the alumni room. And it's going to be called Conjuring Ghost Towns. It's both a poetry reading. A lot of her poetry is inspired by our rural landscape and some of the ghost towns we see up in Consumers and up Spring Canyon. But it'll also be a community writing workshop that explores specifically the hidden histories of rural places and our imagination in seeing those histories. There'll be snacks at that. And so, again, if you've ever written poetry but felt like you just didn't quite have that spark, this might be a good chance to talk to somebody and talk to some like-minded people and work on some of your own writing. And then on February 23rd, probably my favorite event, as Dave knows, I doubt many of you in the audience know, I love bluegrass music. It's among my favorite forms of music. I play the mandolin and upright bass and a bunch of other instruments within that genre. But we're going to have a bluegrass band called The Last Wild Buffaloes on February 23rd from 8 to 10 p.m. at the Student Center in the multipurpose room. And it's going to be a fun night of dancing and singing. It's hard not to want to dance or at least stomp along to that thumping bass in a good bluegrass band. And this is a band focused on bringing lovers of the outdoors together with lovers of music. And so it's going to be really fun. And this is sponsored along with USU Eastern, the Prehistoric Museum, and all of our broader sponsors by USU Student Life. So we really appreciate the students reaching out and help us do that. We talked earlier about the oral histories that are going to be happening earlier in January. On February 24th, we're actually doing a project with the Carbon Historical Society called the Drop-In Scan and Share Activity, February 24th from 10 to 2 p.m. in the multipurpose room at the Student Center, where we're not just looking at history as oral stories or newspaper clippings, what we might call historiography, but we're looking at the type of history I, as an archaeologist, look at. That's the stuff, the material object. So if you have an interesting material object from the history of your family, from the history of mining, from the history of these communities, and you want to share it, you can bring it in, and they'll let you scan your photos, your letters, other historical materials. It could be documents or it could be objects, and they'll take photos and help you scan that, make a digital copy of it, and also collect any of the background information on it. So if you have evidence of your grandpa winning their best tomato up in Martin back in the 1940s, bring it on by and get with that picture, and we'd love to scan that. And the idea is that will all those things that will become digital copies will become part of the People of Utah Revisited, which is an online collection that the Utah Humanities Council, one of our partners, are working with. Then we have a talk on February 29th with Gregory Smoke, who's an esteemed historian up at the University of Utah, and it's called Rural Utah at a Crossroads. It's basically taking the theme of the larger national exhibit and looking at it from a Utah perspective, right? Rural in Utah is different than rural in many other parts of, or I should say maybe rural in the Intermountain West is different than rural in many other parts of the world, right? Or of the Americas, where I'm from in Michigan, or where my curator paleontology is from in Alabama, even when you're in the country, you're never more than a mile or two from a house most of the time, right? People are dispersed on this landscape, whereas here in the Intermountain West, our rural communities are still what we would call nucleated. Almost all of the people who live in Carbon County live along 6 or up in East Carbon. We still live in nucleated communities, and most of that landscape around us, outside of some places like Upper Miller Creek and some other well-watered places, most of the landscape around us is actually not home to people on a permanent basis. And that's very different. And so Greg's going to be looking at that perspective. What does Utah rural look like, and what are the changes in the past and the present work for that? And then finally, on March 2nd, which is really the last day to visit, we're going to have a celebration, a community celebration for our closing, March 2nd from 6 to 8 p.m. in the multipurpose room. And that's going to be fun for the whole family. There's going to be music. There's going to be an indoor bounce house and games. And there's going to be some food trucks available as well from 6 to 8 p.m. on March 2nd at the multipurpose room and in the student center more broadly. And so those are the whirlwind of activities that are coming up at this relatively slow time, January 20th to March 3rd. It's a time when generally, we don't have a lot of other stuff going on, and so we'd love to see the community come out, both USU Eastern students, our local K through 12 students, their families, our seniors, really everybody in and around Carbon and Emory counties to come out and explore this exhibit and be really proud of how much importance this rural community has had on both a state and a national scale with the importance of the mining and transportation corridors here.
And it really does, and it will go on for a period of time, but, you know, one day it may just stop. So it's important to get out and see what's going on and see, you know, like you said, with the conversation with Representative Curtis, what's coming and things like that. So a lot going on as far as this exhibit is concerned. Once again, it starts on January 20th, runs through March 3rd, and it's this great Smithsonian exhibit that is coming around, and we're going to get to be a part of that, and that is great. Dr. Riley, is there anywhere that people can go online and get a list of activities?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple. The main place you're going to want to go is to eastern.usu.edu/crossroads. Again, the name of the exhibits is Crossroads. And so it's really just the eastern.usu.edu main page /crossroads. And that'll take you to the the main page for that that tells you about the different exhibits that are going on, as well as the events. And so that's really going to be your landing place. You can also look for it on social media. The Prehistoric Museum is going to be putting it on their social media. USU Eastern main social media will be putting out as well. And then we will also have this calendar of events in the Prehistoric Museum's community newsletter that comes out quarterly. We're a little bit behind this quarter, but it'll be out right around the beginning of this exhibit so that we can, and that will have both the things that are happening at the museum. Our normal Castle Valley Archaeological Society and Utah Friends of Paleontology talks, our Saturday crafting activity on January 20th, but it'll have a whole section just on this calendar. And that's hopefully going to be in and around a number of businesses in town. It'll be a nice little single page, double-sided newsletter to let the community know what's happening at the Prehistoric Museum, and specifically this time at this Crossroads exhibit, because we're really thrilled to be a part of it and be bringing the Utah Humanities Council and the Smithsonian down here to Carbon County.
All right, and we're really looking forward to it. Dr. Tim Riley with the USU Eastern Prehistoric Museum, thank you for taking out the time and coming in today. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Dave. Always a pleasure.
Now, for more information on interviews like this, you can always check out our website, castlecountryradio.com, and listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.